following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland.
Salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland from the home office in Memphis, Tennessee. Studio A is where we at. Thank you for streaming, downloading, whatever it is that you do to get the program. Of course, available everywhere where podcasts are. Just search my name, and you'll find. Of course, if you're listening to it, then you already know what's going on. Unless somebody has hipped this show to you, and you want to add this to your collection of podcasts that you may enjoy. I know a lot of people like to listen to various different shows than others. It's scattered about, thanks to shows like this, podcasts in general have been basically the death knell to drive time radio. it's weird. I've been in that situation. I've been in drive time radio and watched how the podcast thing kind of took over. It's fascinating. There's a subreddit, that I follow a little bit on occasion. The podcast subreddit, and it's interesting how people will chat in there. Most of them are producers or want to be producers, and they want to, you know, get into the game and have a time with it. And somebody had made a post, I guess it was earlier today, it being the 1st of November, 1st of September, wishful thinking, 1st of September is where we're at here. And somebody had made the post that they were tired of hearing middle-aged podcasters. Thanks. Who like to, and I don't do this, they like to sit down and tell certain jokes or say certain things because they know they can get away with it as far as being racist and old school and, you know, not being somewhat progressive. I don't get that. I know there's some out there. There's a billion of these damn shows. And those of you who listen to this one understand a little bit more about where I'm from. The industry that is, you know, broadcast, never more than 3 feet from a damn microphone, it seems. And when that is the case, you know, you sit here and you wonder, you know, before you come on, what you going to do, what you going to talk about, what we're going to get into, that kind of thing. And I just felt like I wanted to bring that up, is that just because I'm middle-aged, that there is this stereotypical thing that I'm going to sit here and say things that are politically incorrect. That's not necessarily the case. I've become a little more sensitive to such matters. As I think people do in general, and my job is not to sit here and shock and offend. There's plenty of that out there by any means. My job, I've always approached this with the whole idea, the whole notion that really the best thing to do is to maybe bring up a topic that is uncomfortable to a certain extent, and maybe just have the listener just open their minds up a little. And I have to agree with it. That's the whole point. It's just a matter of being open-minded to seeing how certain things are in this world. And it's not always pretty, that's for sure. It's silly a lot. I've come to the conclusion that most of the things that we see in this world are basically silly reactions. Social media, of course, is very, very good at that. You know, people say, you know, you ask them where they get their news because they're not necessarily reading newspapers anymore. And some people will sit there and they go, well, you know, I saw this on Facebook, therefore it must be this or that. And that's not the case. That's not what you do. You may have heard of something that has occurred in social media, and then you have to go research it on your own to get, you know, get the facts and get what's going on. And our reactions to that is really what social media has become. It's a reflection of the news, not the news itself. So you have to be sort of careful with that. And yet there are people out there, probably those that are in my generation, that will look upon that as the sole source because they don't know how else to do it. I don't really know what else to say about that sort of thing, except, you know, people need to wise up and start thinking a little bit more clearly with themselves when it comes to these sorts of matters, because you just can't do that. And for anybody who would think that somebody like me would do a show like this strictly to offend, is they've lost their marbles, because I really don't. There's a lot of things in this world that are far more offensive than some idiot with a microphone. That alone could be somewhat offensive, because you wonder how the hell do shows like this go on. You know, I've often sat here and looked at this thing, looked at this show from Radioland, and wondered, you know, how much longer can I keep this up? How much longer am I willing to keep it up? Does it really matter? If it were to go away, would anybody miss it? Maybe somebody would. I'd like to think so. I probably would more than anything else, because this is cathartic for me in a roundabout way. And I'll be selfish about that sort of thing, because it, you know, that's what it is. It's a bit of catharsis for me to be able to sit here and vent for a moment about some of the things that that cross my mind. But you have to understand too that I'm not alone. I'm not alone in any of this. Nobody really is. You know, we all have these fears and these thoughts, and what makes us unique, I guess, is how we deal with those. So, you know, without getting into too much into that, I just kind of want to, you know, kick it off with something as lame as that. That's not what we're getting into today. We're going to get into the constant state of fear. Yep, it's episode 290, and it's coming up right after this from Radioland.
Get on the Memphis Brew Bus. Every Saturday at 2 p.m., we'll take a 3.5-hour adventure through the Memphis craft brewery scene. The Memphis Brew Bus stops at 3 local breweries for some special behind-the-scenes tours, talks with the master brewers, and, of course, tasting of their signature brews. While on the bus, you'll hear stories and learn about the history of beer. Plus, you'll get some music from the Radio Memphis Library. Go to memphisbrewbus.com and find them on Facebook. The Memphis Brew Bus. We'll drive you to drink.
We seem to be doing a hell of a job of keeping ourselves scared for whatever reason. I'm not sure why this is. I don't know if it's politics. I don't know if it's if it has anything to do with what we see in the news and our, as what I was talking about earlier before the break, you know, our reactions to certain things that go on. But it seems like fear has become a commodity of sorts, and I don't understand that. I don't particularly agree with it. I don't like it, but what can you do? You know, I choose to live my life differently than a lot of other folks, and that I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of living. If you look back, you know, there was a horrible incident in West Texas, right? Over the weekend, somebody had gone on a shooting spree there in Midland, Odessa area, and seven people as of now have died. 21 others are injured. It's another day in the life of an American citizen where these sorts of things happen, and nothing gets accomplished, nothing will get done about it. And I'm not going to sit here and bloviate about that sort of thing, because I don't have all the answers. I don't have those answers. I'll leave that to you, and I'll leave that to those who think that they can solve the problem. What is fascinating to me, though, is the reactions of those after the fact. And we see it all the time. On one side, there are these people who are, rightfully so, a bit freaked out about the idea that somebody has gone nuts with a gun and just started randomly shooting people. There's a little bit of fear to be attached to that, because you don't know when or where it could possibly may or may not happen to you. You know, it's in the back of your head. It's the sort of thing that you think about maybe when you go to, you go to any crowded place. The fair is here in town. One of the fairs. It's happening. And apparently last night, which, by the way, today's Sunday the 1st, last night at the fair, there was a shooting there. And I don't know all the details on it, so I'm not going to bloviate on it, but it gets glossed over, it gets shoved under the rug, and it gets moved along, and people will be what they are. And you have those folks who will sit there and go, "Oh my God, this is awful," which it is. They're correct. It's awful. And they will overreact a little bit by saying, "Well, that's it. I'm not going out in public anymore." That's a bit of an overreaction. You know, it really, you should just calm down and not worry about these sorts of things. Go out and live your life. You know, when 9/11 occurred, it didn't stop me from wanting to get onto an airplane. I know some people were pretty put out about it. But on the other side of the coin, then you have those who dealt with the fear in a much more, maligned way. Certainly what seems sort of unhealthy. Especially when it comes to those who are into the Second Amendment, for example, when you're talking about these shootings. And so they go, "Oh, it's awful what happened, but you can't take my guns. I refuse to let that happen." And that creates an interesting scenario, because you wonder, you know, their argument has always been, you know, "Hey, a good guy with a gun would have stopped it." Dude, this last shooting was in Texas. you know, they issue a gun to you when you cross the Texas border. I'm being glib. It's not necessarily the case. It's certainly not the case. But where was the good guy with the gun? Where has the good guy with the gun been with all these shootings that are occurring out there? There wasn't one here in Memphis at the fair, and there certainly wasn't one in Texas that I'm aware of. You know, it's always the police that do this sort of thing. That's what they're paid to do. That's their job. And however system that is. But the fear gets peddled out there, because after this becomes all of the roundabout that goes with that. There's always that talk of, well, it's awful. 17-month-old kid got shot in the face. Oh, it's awful. But you're not taking my guns. You know, we'll let a kid get killed, but, you know, you can't have abortions. This is what your government's doing to you. You know, it's that kind of thing. It's that kind of fear. I remember a time in this country when the guy in the White House did a pretty good job of trying to keep Americans scared, but by creating this fear, the president stood there and said, but I will protect you from it. And as long as he had a bad guy, he was always going to be the good guy. And that's the way that was going to be. And I don't know, that's very smart politics. I mean, you know, why kill the golden goose? If you know where the bad guy is, you go get him. But instead you keep him around, so you know, you keep your tabs on him, but he's going to protect you, so, you know, you got to put your faith in this guy. That's peddling in fear, and it's not, I don't think that's right. I don't think that's correct. Personally, I think that people should have the right to move about freely around the world as much as they would like to, or as much as they could afford, without fear. If you are traveling into a dangerous area, you know this, right? And you do what it takes to not be a target as best as you can. Here in the United States, you know, we have been listed by, I guess, was it, I don't know who keeps this sort of thing, NATO, the UN, whatever. Travel warnings have been put out to other countries, other citizens that want to come to the United States for, I don't know, for a visit or a tour or whatnot. And they're told, look out, it's a dangerous place. And it is. It is dangerous. It can be dangerous. Let me put it that way. You know, convenience stores are like one of the most robbed things out there, but I go to them all the time. I'm into one nearly every day. And I don't think about that when I go in. I'm going in to get my beer or whatever I'm getting, a snack, a beverage of some sort. You stop into the store, maybe get gasoline. You stop it in, you get your thing. You don't think about the fact that there's going to be some guy who's a little anxious and he's standing there behind you and he's getting a little worked up, you know, on the line. He finally busts through and he pulls a gun on the clerk and says, give me all the money. It scares everybody in the room. But I don't think about these things. I really don't. It's there in the back of my head that I'm aware of it, but I don't think of it. You know what I mean? There's a big difference there. And certainly it would make for, you know, some interesting conversation with people. It's like, well, you know, I was at the store when, dude, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I was scared. You know, that kind of thing. But there's a difference between being scared and living in fear. And I think what has happened now, and I blame social media for a lot of this, is that we push this whole thing around about fear. That you are told by various people that you should be afraid of this or that or the other. You should be offended by this, that, or the other. And I, you know, you should still teach cursive in school. Yeah. There's dumb shit that's out there. And it could go back to what I was talking about at the beginning of the program. It could go back to those middle-aged guys who sit here and when they figured out how to podcast and they sit there and they tell horribly racist jokes or they'll make horribly insensitive comments about this, that, or the other because, oh, this is how I was brought up. We get a pass because that's bullshit. You don't get a pass because of that. That is refusing, that's being willfully ignorant. That's refusing an education. If you are being willfully ignorant about something, you deserve every bit of critique that is coming your way. And if you're one of those people, you know, God love you. That's the case. You know, when I was working in corporate radio, there was a certain vibe or feeling that we had to express. At that time, we had a relatively conservative-leaning audience. For the most part, it was. And there were some horrible things that were being said on the air. And it was never done to be malicious or... Well, there was a little bit of malice to it, but it was never meant to be, you know, flat out pointed and insulting. It could be taken as such, some of the things that were said. Yeah, we were just doing our jobs then, and I did a pretty good job of backing away from a lot of that. Had to. You know, I know people outside of those studios. That's just it. When you're in the studio, when you're sitting in here, you know, with this microphone and you're speaking to however many people that are listening and you sit there and you make those statements, you don't think about it because out it goes and there's no immediate feedback. Oh, my friends, there is. When you post something like that or like this show onto social media and they've heard it and then they write a comment about the program, which has happened, or they'll send an email or they'll maybe somebody I know personally and they'll say, hey, I heard what you said about this and you're wrong. Or, hey, I agreed with you on this, that, or the other. That's the immediate feedback is not so immediate, but it does happen. Podcasters in general live in this weird bubble anyway, and a lot of people don't understand how that works. Because I see it all the time from new podcasters. They go, how come nobody's saying anything about the show? Well, there's a lot of reasons for that. A lot of them feel that they're not really necessarily compelled to say anything as far as comments. Because typically... We as listeners, as a listening audience, we tend to gravitate toward programs that may agree with us. You see what I'm saying? It's like with any other post. They will, if something lines up with them politically or intellectually, they'll share it. And they'll share it as something as, oh, this person's smart because this is what they said. I don't know. It's not necessarily the case. I think the better shows, and maybe something I should probably look into, is providing more context to some of the things I talk about. And I do a little bit, you know, by talking about what one side says and what the other side says. Pitting one against the other. All coming from one source, which is me. I'm not going to... Because the last thing I want to do, trust me, is sit into a studio... And, you know, have one guy on one side of the table and one guy on the other side of the table, and they're on opposite ends of the pole, if you will. And I lay a topic out there and let these guys just beat each other up over it. Because even though a good argument can be healthy, conflict can be sort of fun, but a fight is neither. None of it is worth it. And all it does is it just stokes the flames and it creates a lot of hate on both sides of the coin. And the other thing that comes up is fear. And that fear becomes this. It's like, well, I'm scared because people like that are out in our world. I'll be honest with you. The only real fear I have is, you know, I have my daily fears. I think like most everybody else. Yeah, you hear the story that life can turn on a dime. The whole world changes in a minute, and it does. And I hope that today is not one of those days that something horrific happens in my world involving me or my family. That's a fear. That's just life. You know, I hope that when I, you know, am taking a shower, I don't slip in the tub, bust a hip. because the wife was in there with a bath bomb and it's got those oils in there, and boy, howdy, does that make a tub slick. That's a fear. that's a real fear. I get scared of things like maybe I might eat somewhere and come down with food poisoning. That's a bit of a fear. Not a big fear, but I've had the food poisoning, as I'm sure all of you have had. It's awful. You pray for death in some of those cases. But you don't let it dominate you now, do it. Another fear I might have is getting behind the wheel of my car and I'm off to do whatever it is that I'm doing and somebody, I don't know, somebody's reckless or texting or runs a red light and does me in. That's a fear. Or worse, a fender bender, you know, really just kind of pissed me off about all of that kind of stuff. That's a fear. But I don't sit around and be scared of things like, you know, is the president going to put us in war? Or is the president going to wreck our economy? Are there people out there with nefarious means that are going to take my what little control I have over my own life and wreck it even further? Those types of fears, as legitimate as they are some that I don't really consider as much because, and I'll tell you why, I don't have any control over that, and neither do you. What's going to happen is going to happen. In fact, most of that stuff is sort of that I mentioned earlier is the same thing. I get afraid that maybe some of my favorite shows might get canceled. That's a fear. That's a fear that I have. I have another fear that I may wake up and lose everything that I have. That one kind of hangs on me a little bit. Or that today's the day that I slip a little further into depression. Those are legitimate fears. But those are the types of fears that we don't talk about. We don't go to social media and we don't mention those things. It's like when you see people that do some of that, and it's always the same thing, always asking for prayers or something like that. And there's all these people that are going, I'm praying for you. And they use the high five emoji, which I've never understood, but that's what they're doing. Yeah. The hands together, that's supposed to look like that's a high five emoji. And when you put that in that kind of context and you see what's going on with that, and somebody's asking for prayers and there's a high five in there, that changes things a little. Just a little bit. But I think our fears are what makes us who we are. We all have them, and we all keep them pretty close to our vest, unless they get a little overwhelming, and then we'll often seek a friend out and have a chat about it. That's a good thing to have. I'm scared of this, or I'm scared of that, and your friend might say, hey, I have those same fears too. This is how I deal with it, or this is how not to deal with it. But having fears of things that are really beyond control. Am I afraid the world's going to end? Sure. In my lifetime? Yeah, probably. Is a post-apocalyptic nightmare right around the corner? Probably so. Is there anything I can do about it? Nope. We'll deal with that as it comes. But it's not worth worrying about. I got far more other things to worry about. I got to worry about stuff it's not going to matter in a month. That's what I do. I think you're the same way. I think a lot of people are the same way. We worry about little stuff that doesn't really matter in a month or 6 months or a year even. That's been the old litmus test for a lot of things, is that whatever it is that I'm involved in, is this going to matter 10 years from now? Is it going to matter a year? Is it going to matter tomorrow? Yeah, you have to find that bucket to put these things in. But there are people out there who like to take those fears and manipulate them so they can manipulate your emotions and your fears to their benefit. And those are the people you got to avoid. It's the best thing you can do, man. Try and avoid that stuff. Not here to, you know, give you advice, but that's my point of view, even though you didn't ask. Don't be manipulated, especially in social media. By God, what a charade that is. Seriously, it's a massive charade. The big thing now, back to the political world, is that the big fear is that people are going to, there are those outside of our scope of influence who are going to try and manipulate the elections. Oh, they're planting that seed a lot. And you have to have some type of faith in the system, or else what good is it, right? You just have to kind of hope that, that's going to work out. Be that as it may. I'd like to get back to worrying about what I'm having for dinner. That would be kind of cool. Or worrying about what I'm gonna watch on the television later, perhaps. Or, you know, what I'm gonna do tomorrow. Tomorrow's a holiday, and I'm off. As I know, many of you are. So, be that as it may, that's. Those are the kind of worries and fears I'd rather have. Kind of sucks being an adult, doesn't it? It's summertime, and Wizards has all your outdoor fun covered. Memphis' number one alternative smoke and vape shop is your CBD headquarters, but they're not just a CBD or smoke shop. Novelty t-shirts, hats, sunglasses, and more. New stuff in the store every day. Woodwick candles, silver jewelry, tapestries, and candles, and really cool backflow incense burners. Great deals throughout the store. 1999 Madison Avenue, open 10 to 10, 7 days a week. Online at memphiswizards.com. Wizards, because it's still smoking. Must be 18 or older to buy smoking-related material.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
Yeah, people might ask, how is it that we've come to this position? How is it that we've become so petty? We haven't. We've always been this way. That's always been the way I've looked at it. We've always been this petty, and here's why this comes to mind. We're hearing more about it. There are those that go to social media specifically just to be petty. Society hasn't changed one bit. I would argue that ever since there have been cavemen, there have been these types of people out there. It's just that now we're all being exposed to them on a larger scale. And that gets, well, it gets a little tiring, but there's no difference. People haven't just become magically more stupid or magically more smarter. I mean, we've got technology on our side, which is a good thing, but still, there's always been that level of pettiness because, well, you know, quite frankly, we're petty people.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Right, you heard what's coming up next time on the program here from Radioland. Today being the 1st of September, they're calling it Memphis Day because it's 901. Our area code is 901 for those that that don't live in the area. Having the coveted 901 area code is a good one to have. It's the 901. It's Memphis Day. And the crowd goes mild. Coming up here in a moment, the unpopular thought, which kind of ties into what I wanted to mention here as an addendum to last week when we were talking about mediocrity. And I was talking about the great chicken sandwich wars between Chick-fil-A and Popeyes. And Popeyes done flat sold out of them. I mean, it was that big of a deal. And it set their corporate people kind of aback. They were a bit shocked about all of this. I mean, good for them. They made a buttload of money, you know, selling a chicken sandwich. And a lot of people were like, oh, it's the best chicken sandwich in the world. It's like I said last week. If you missed it, go back and hear it. But the idea was, no matter how good either one of those chicken sandwiches are to you, it's still just kind of okay. It's just mediocre. It's nothing to get too worked up about. And it got to the point there were people that were buying them and then trying to sell them like they're selling them out of the trunk of their car. Hey man, I got that Popeye's chicken sandwich. You can't get it anymore. I'll hook you up. You're $25, man. Yeah. Which leads me to today's unpopular thought, and it's this. Chick-fil-A and all that. It ain't all that. Maybe I mentioned that before as an unpopular thought. It's not like I'm writing this stuff down, but it just, and it's unpopular to say that, but that's just the way I stand on these sorts of things. Go somewhere else. Do it yourself. I like the whole idea about local restaurants, locally owned restaurants, because they're special, right? You can't get that in any other place. You know, they can be consistent in their own right. But, I know McDonald's is the same no matter where it is that you go in the world, and that's part of their success. But I don't like that. I like something different, you know. And as the old saying goes, break the chain, eat local. It's a great line. So I urge you to go do that. Next time you go out to eat, go find you a locally owned joint. Something different. That's what you do. That's where you sample life, that, you know. If you're afraid of those types of changes and you're out there going, oh, I don't know, man, they make their stuff, it's homemade, it's fresh, I don't know if I can handle that sort of thing, then you deserve to live a life of mediocrity. It's like people that drink Bud Light. What the fuck is wrong with you? That's not even beer. Life's too short for that, man. It really is. Right. With it being the 1st of September, it being a Sunday, I'm going to be headed down to the studio tonight down at Radio Memphis. We've got a show for you, as we do each and every Sunday for the Booze and Blues. It's Robert J. Starr in the studio. He's going to be performing live there happening with us in the Booze and Blues. He's got a brand new record. We'll play some cuts off of it. We'll just have us a large time as we do each and every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central. Got a busy week, too, because Tuesday – At noon, I got Paul Crum. He's going to join me for a few minutes. We're going to talk about the he's got a music festival, a concert sort of thing for the Campaign for Nonviolence. That'll be kind of cool. Then Wednesday night, from I think 6 to 9, Alice Hazen and the Blaze. Alice has got a brand new record. We're going to have that. And they're going to play a little bit live in the studio as well. We'll have some conversations about how the record was made. So it's a sneak on that one, too. And then coming up next Saturday at Radio Memphis, Mama Honey will be in the studio from 7 to about 9 or 10. So that'll be a big time with their brand new record. So we got to, you know, we're kicking September off, man. Just kicking it right dead square on the balls and just, you know, just having a time with it. So there you go. And on that, I'm going to check on out of here. Monday, of course, is Labor Day. Hope you have a great Labor Day. If you're off, enjoy the time off with those that that you get to spend time with, and have you a good time. Be safe out there, right? Take care of yourselves. Take care of one another, for God's sake. Please stop shooting each other, okay? I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.